I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can find me on Twitter at @_JamesVickers. And I write for a Preston North End fan blog, which is at Deepdale Digest.
Hello, I'm Lee Jenkins. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday supporter, and you can follow me on Twitter at Second Touch Tackle or my personal account at Jenk16.
Hi, I'm Russ Goldman. I am a Fulham supporter, and I have a podcast called Cottage Talk. You can follow me on Twitter at Russ_Goldman and also at the Twitter account for Cottage Talk, simply Cottage Talk.
Cheers for joining me today, guys. It's a bit of a weird one, really. Obviously, we've had the first international break now, so there's obviously no games to review from the week just gone by. So I thought what we'd do is we'd talk about, obviously, it was the transfer deadline day a few days ago. We'll sort of do almost like a summary show of our transfer windows as a whole deadline day and how we think our season's gone so far. So I wanted to start, obviously, deadline day. It's sort of the main day of the transfer window, really. There's obviously the drama on Sky Sports News that there was an interesting piece out with the Sheffield United manager sort of highlighting how deadline seems to go. So it was quite interesting to see that. So I wanted to start with you, Lee. Just sort of run us through Sheffield Wednesday's deadline day. Were you happy with the deals done, sort of, if any? And was there anything that you would have changed about it?
I mean, first of all, deadline day seemed to go pretty quiet for us. No major transfers. The only surprising one really was to hear of the loan swap deal with Sam Winnell going to Derby and Jacob Butterfield coming the other way. We did manage to bring in two relatively unknown central defenders, which were vital, really. We were crying out for central defenders. So that was Yousef Van Aken and Frederico Venasio. As you can tell, I have no idea who they are, if they're any good or not, but they're part of the squad and it's a position that we were really looking to fill. And like I said, pretty quiet, really. The shot, really, one was Winnell leaving. I didn't see that coming for a player who we only signed sort of just before deadline day in January for him to obviously be leaving us already. There is some rumours that some unrest between him and Forestieri may be the reason why he's gone out on loan, but for us, deadline day seemed relatively quiet. In terms of the transfers overall, the only other addition apart from those has been George Boyd. So for us, deadline this summer and deadline day itself has been relatively quiet. I think we did most of our transfers sort of January time last year with the likes of Jordan Rhodes and obviously Sam Winnell coming in. So deadline day for me didn't really live up to the expectations of all the stuff that you see on Sky Sports really bigging it up. For me, it was a bit of a letdown, to be honest.
Yeah, it was sort of similar. Obviously, I'll get onto it in a bit of how Preston's was, really. Were you expecting any sort of more signings to come in that obviously didn't materialise, or were you sort of content with what actually did come in?
Well, I'm really, really concerned that we allowed players like Ali Dean to join Birmingham and even Grant Hanley to join Norwich. These are the centre defenders that we were sort of needing within the squad to really take us to the next level. It's a concerning area for me and for many of the supporters. We need a strength in that area. And two experienced central defenders have allowed to join our rivals, really. And it never seemed like we were ever in with the mix of getting these players. And instead, we've signed two young players that are inexperienced and, you know, everyone looks good on YouTube, and I've seen clips of them on YouTube. They look good players, but I couldn't tell you who they are and whether they're going to add to our squad, our first team. So I'm just really surprised that a club like ours, who were supposed to be pushing for promotion this season, we've missed out on some really good experienced players. That's the only sort of letdown for me. But I don't think, if you look at our squad, we're in sort of any major concerns. I'm not worried about any one position. If anything, we've got probably two bigger squad going into the season. We've got sort of 35 players that all could potentially play, that are all going to want to play at some point, and potentially it's going to be a struggle keeping them all happy. But I'm not too concerned. It's just I would have liked us to have gone and made a marquee central defender our big signing leading up to the transfer deadline.
Yeah, the same question to you really, Russ. Obviously, the main sort of highlight of your summer, I think, has been keeping hold of Tom Kearney. I know there was a lot of interest from Premier League clubs in particular. Sort of run us through deadline day as a whole for Fulham and sort of the rest of the summer.
Sure. Well, deadline day certainly wasn't boring for me. And I don't mean that in a positive way, because there was a good amount of speculation going on deadline day involving Dwight Gale with Newcastle United. And then for some reason, there was speculation involving a swap with Dwight Gale and Tom Kearney, which was never going to happen. But somehow that got linked, that there was a interest from Newcastle United in Tom Kearney. But there was no way that they were going to do that. But again, that made for an interesting last few hours of the transfer window. In regards to the last few days, that's where things really started to heat up. And it started with Sone Aluko going to Reading. And I'm one that did not want to see Sone Aluko go. I think he's valuable to how Fulham wanted to play. He wasn't clinical enough, so he is replaceable, and I have a good feeling that Fulham will be okay without him, but I just didn't want to see a player that was integral to what we did last season leave. But he does leave. They got a huge fee for him. It's reported with add-ons that it could go up to £7.5 million, which is an incredible for a player that they got on a free the prior season. So money-wise, it makes sense, but that all leads to, well, how do you replace him? What comes in after that? And what Fulham had done since that, they brought in a couple of players, and one was Jordan Graham that they brought on loan, highly regarded from Wolves. And everyone that I hear with Wolves tell us that he's really going to work out well for us, and this was quite a coup, as what I've been told from people that follow Wolves. So I'm happy to see Fulham bring in another winger. Then they brought in another winger. His name's Johan Molo, on a free from Zenit St. Petersburg. And again, no money transferred here, so fans are doubting this move. But everything that I've read about this player and watched on this player, I'm encouraged. And we're just going to have to wait and see how he works out. But he's got a lot of pace. And that's what Fulham need. Fulham need wingers with pace. And basically, it looks like they got that with Graham and Molo. Unfortunately, for Fulham supporters, when they see a move letting a player go for that amount in regards to Sone Aluko, you're expecting them to replenish that with players coming in on fees. And that did not happen. There was much speculation, like I mentioned, with Dwight Gale. And then, of course, there was speculation with Forstieri. I don't know how real that was, but there was speculation with that. And a few other players as well, but they never got anything over the line. For me, I'm happy with the window. I think they had a very successful window. I've said this, regardless of the players that they brought in, the two players that they kept, Tom Kearney and Ryan Sessegnon, signing those players to contracts is massive. That, to me, was a win, regardless of who else came in. But they've added a lot of players. I believe it was 11. And they brought in two strikers. Rui Fon, who I think is going to really work out for them, scored against Ipswich Town. Looks like the striker that they really do need. And then Abubakar Kamara, more of a raw talent, another striker coming from France. So they brought in a good amount of players. Oliver Norwood from Brighton. Shea Ojo on loan from Liverpool. They have some talent. But Fulham fans look at, you know, the amount of money that went out and it never was brought back in. And maybe that'll happen in January. But overall, I'm really happy with the window. The only position that I was looking for them to add to was to potentially bring in another center back. They didn't do that. And like we're talking about, maybe a striker. But beyond that, they've really helped themselves out a great deal in this window. And I think the window's been a success for Fulham.
Yeah, obviously you touched on it there. I think we had you on first or second week of the season, and you were sort of saying that Fulham really sort of needed another attacking player. You've managed to bring in that now, obviously, with Rui Font. Do you think that the squad is well placed to mount sort of a, obviously you started a bit sort of shakily. Do you think the squad is sort of poised now to make a real sort of go at automatic promotion this season, or would you have liked to see, as you mentioned, another centre back come in?
I think that we are. It's funny because I would like to see them bring in another striker. Maybe that'll happen in January, and maybe a center back for just another option. But I'm happy with the center backs that they have. I just think that the squad is still a little light. I heard Lee talking about that his squad is heavy, and that's great. Ours is light. Again, they've added some depth, but for me, not enough depth in several positions, center back being one and striker being another. We have a huge amount of wingers now, and that just tells you the direction that Savic is going. We were just talking about this on Cottage Talk. It really is about the wingers and the midfield three working together, and then the strikers scoring the goals. But we have so many options now with these wingers. It's going to be exciting to see how it all plays out. I like what I've seen from Shea Ojo. You know, again, we'll have to see how Jordan Graham and Johan Molo work out. And we also got a left back on loan from Portugal by the name of Rafa Soares, who was actually linked to Liverpool at one point. So we brought in a bunch of players, and we just have to see how it all works out. But honestly, I was so encouraged after the Ipswich Town match, because I actually said to Dan Bloom, who's been on this show, he was talking to me about his team and my worry that it hadn't clicked yet. And I said, well, I said to him that once it clicks, I said, it's not a matter of if, it's when. I said, we can go on a run. And now I've seen it against Ipswich Town, and I'm feeling pretty good moving forward. I think Fulham can contend for automatic promotion. Unfortunately, they had some tough matches to start the season, but I think we're ready to move on now.
Yeah, so moving on to Preston, it's almost like a mix between the two of you. As you two mentioned, obviously, deadline day for us was a slight letdown in the sense that we didn't manage to bring anyone in. As far as outgoings are concerned, we got rid of Liam Grimshaw off the books. He was a centre mid signed similar time to Ben Pearson when we got him from Man United. And what's been interesting really about our transfer sort of policy over the last few seasons, we've brought in young, hungry players who aren't getting a look in at Premier League teams. So you've got the likes of Josh Harrop, Ben Pearson. We've got a young lad from Arsenal on loan called Steffi Mavididi. And it's about giving these lads a chance. Obviously, the amount of young players that we are bringing in, there is going to be sort of the odd one like a Grimshaw who, for whatever reason, doesn't settle. He's been sent out now on a free transfer to Motherwell. So wish him all the best of luck there. Got nothing against him as a person. He always seemed to work hard. Just unfortunately, there was that little bit of sort of ability lacking. The other player that we managed to get rid of, which was sort of quite a delight, was Owen Doyle. He's gone on loan till January to Oldham. It was probably Grayson's worst bit of transfer business. We offered him a three-year deal after having him on loan for a season where he didn't particularly impress. So a few eyebrows were raised at the time when we did offer him that deal. So we've managed to obviously get him off the books now till January. And I sort of fully expect him to go back on loan to sort of whether it be Oldham or Plymouth were interested, someone like that come January, and then him to go in the summer. Yeah, as I mentioned, I think we are still light in a few areas. I think what's been positive, and I've mentioned this a couple of times on the podcast, is Alex Neil has turned to youth. He's brought in Ben Davies, who was really sort of cast aside by Grayson. He'd spent loan spells at non-league clubs. But under Alex Neil, he looks a completely different player. He's a left-back by trade, but he's slotted in at centre-half this season next to Paul Huntington. And he's been one of our best defenders. Can't fault the guy. But obviously, when you've got a player who last season was playing non-league football, there is that concern that obviously Tom Clark, the club captain, is out injured well until the new year. So sort of another injury, and we are really scraping at the barrel then. The same situation at left back, obviously. We have got Kevin O'Connor, who we brought in the summer. He was thought to be the replacement left back should Greg Cunningham get injured, which he has done now, and he's out until the new year. But rather than going for O'Connor, quite surprisingly, Alex Neil's gone for a young lad called Josh Earle, who's a first-year pro. He's come through the academy and been handed his first sort of senior contract in the summer. 6 foot left back, great pace going forward, and he's been absolutely fantastic so far. He kept Stuart Downing quiet when he came on against Middlesbrough, which in itself is no easy task, and he's slotted in as if he's been playing for us for sort of 3 or 4 years, so that's really encouraging. Just obviously you would have liked maybe a loan signing here or there to sort of help pad out those injuries. But as far as sort of the defence is going, there were concerns, but you know, we haven't conceded a goal from open play yet in the league against probably 5 of our hardest games that we're going to have this season. So, you know, really encouraging signs, although a little bit disappointed not to actually bring someone in. The transfer window as a whole really has been quite encouraging. Obviously, we had Grayson depart halfway through after signing a few players, and then Alex Neil's come in and brought in Darnell Fisher from Rotherham, who's a right back. Sort of seeing the reaction on Twitter off Rotherham fans, most Preston fans, for sort of what have we done in signing this guy. But fair play to the lad, he's been absolutely fantastic. I think the difference in playing week in, week out in a team that's actually capable of defending rather than playing in obviously a Rotherham team that was leaking goals left, right and centre last season has done him no end of good. He looks a completely different player to the player that was playing against us twice last season. So if he carries on improving, you know, we've got a real asset on our hands there.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just wanted to quickly ask both of you, obviously we touched on it a bit, but obviously now the transfer window's shut, do you think that your squads are in, I'd call it sort of a better position than you were at the end of last season, obviously with regards to incomings and outgoings? We'll start with you on this one, Lee. Do you think Sheffield Wednesday are better or worse than they were at the end of last season?
Yeah, I think the team is obviously stronger in terms of the odd couple of players that we have brought in. What you're also seeing is potential, the players like Jordan Rose, who we signed sort of towards the end of last season, hopefully now after the pre-season and once the season starts going, we will be a stronger team for that. In terms of the areas that we needed to strengthen, which were central defence, we've obviously brought players in for that. They are young players, so potentially we're going to need to give them time to sort of settle. But like I've touched on already, we've got a really strong squad already. So the only concern I've got is some of those players like George Boyd that we brought in haven't really hit the ground yet. Likewise with Jordan Rhodes. But like I say, I think it's only time before they sort of settle and really start and kick on. And we will only be stronger and better for the players that we brought in. George Boyd, you know, he was playing in the Premiership last season. And his experience and his quality will hopefully shine. And towards the end of the season, when it gets to the sort of nitty gritty, that's the time when these kind of players will hopefully prove their worth for us. Like I said, Butterfield coming in on deadline day, it's a position that I didn't really think we needed to strengthen him, but he's another good player, and I've seen him over the years. He's a very good footballer, and that's the kind of players that we're trying to attract at the club, good footballers. We just need to obviously start and see the performances improve, which I hope they will, and potentially we're in a stronger position than where we were last year, and we weren't a million miles away last year. We just really got to All these players that we have got, like I say, we've got a massive squad. We've got to find the right combinations and really get into the nitty-gritty part of the season, and hopefully we'll be up there again. I'm not too concerned about any particular position. Like I say, we've got strength in depth. The biggest headache for Carlos is really, and I think it's evidently so far in the season, is picking his strongest 11 for each individual game. That's been his biggest problem. We've got far too many players to sort of narrow it down sometimes. I think that's where we've kind of looked a little bit off the pace, and it's just finding those right combinations, whether that be Hooper and Rhodes up top or whether it be Hooper and Fletcher. It's just those little things that we've got to iron out. But the squad, I'm really comfortable where we are. It's just all about performances now.
Yeah, and the same question to you, Russ. Obviously, I'd imagine sort of the answer is pretty obvious, keeping hold of a few key players from last season. But
sure.
How do you see the squad sort of compared to the end of last season? Do you think there's been improvements made to it, or were you happier sort of at the end of last season with the squad?
I'm definitely happier with the team that we have going forward, partially for what you just said. It also has to deal with continuity. We kept our key players, but the other players in the starting 11 that did stay, they're still there and they're getting better and they're playing more time together. So the more that all these players have been together, the continuity is going to get stronger and stronger. For me, it really is about keeping the midfield three intact. Johansson, McDonald, and Kearney. The three of them are still there. That's the engine room. Those three are intact. Everything else can take off from there. Like I said, we now have all this pace on the wings. What's great is that we have Sessegnon, who can be our left back but can also play in the midfield as well. Pace. It's all about pace in the midfield three, and then you have two strikers. Like I said, we have a raw striker and a Boubacar Kamara. I think he's eventually going to do a nice job for us. I think he's just adapting to playing in England, and it might take him a little bit, but he has that want. You see him. He wants to play well. He already has that desire. The big difference for me, besides what I've just talked about, is at striker. If you take away Chris Martin, who did not want to be with a club in the end, let's be honest here, he wanted to go back to Derby County, you have a striker that's already let the fans know that he wants to be a Fulham, and that's Rui Font. And he looks like a proper striker. He looks like he fits. All the pieces seem to fit. Now it's about the engine running together as a unit. If everything runs together, Fulham are definitely going to be better. And that's why I think we are a better team. But that's on paper. We have to see it all play out. But on top of it, with the midfield three, they actually brought in a couple players to really help out in case one is not going to be there. We have Ibrahim Cisse as more of a replacement for Kevin McDonald if he got injured and cannot play. You have him in there now. Oliver Norwood can play all three of the midfield three positions, so he's extremely valuable. That to me is what's going on there, is that last season, if one of those midfield three got injured, we were going to be in trouble. We now have cover there. We have two strikers that want to be with the club, apparently, and we have all of this pace on the wings. And then if you look at the center backs, they're both intact. Yes, I want more cover there, but you have Tim Ream and Tomas Kalas, and then you have Ryan Fredericks, who looked sharp at the beginning of the season. And on the left, you have your option of Ryan Sessegnon and Rafa Soares, who we have not seen yet. So we have many options. And what's interesting so far, when I look at Fulham's season, not enough has been talked about, is that we're not giving up a lot of goals. David Button looks really solid so far. That's been a bonus. He looks very confident back there. And then, of course, we have Marcus Bettinelli. So if the defense stands up and actually improves from last season, we certainly have a shot for automatic promotion.
Yeah, and just touching on Preston, I think obviously when McGeady went in the summer and then obviously Grayson went, there was sort of very little chance of him coming back then, even though he was sort of at the time quite vocal about the fact he wanted to come back. He had enjoyed the football. I think it was more so the opportunity of working with Grayson. So as soon as he went across to Sunderland, it was almost a no-brainer for McGeady to obviously hop over there. And quite a lot of fans were understandably upset by it. Obviously, he was sort of our driving force really last season and could win us a game single-handedly. But there's been sort of a few fans that I've had a chat to, and I think at times last season, we were almost over-reliant on him. So in the sense that if he had a bad game, the team had a bad game, we became almost at times quite one-dimensional. It was get the ball to McGeady and let him produce something. So while it was sad to see him go, obviously he's not getting any younger. And the likes of players that we've brought in, such as Sean Maguire, and we've got Mavididi off Arsenal, Tam Barkhuizen is now into his first proper full season with us. We've got Josh Harrop. We've got plenty of young, exciting attacking options. Callum Robinson again, to name another one. And I think while there was that disappointment of losing McGeady and quite a lot of people thought it would weaken the squad, I think so far we've seen this season, even though we haven't scored the goals yet, we've been playing some really good attacking football, which over the last few years it's sort of been lacking, really. Under Grayson, obviously, we did extremely well, and it's not a knock on Grayson, but we didn't play sort of the most attractive football that quite a lot of Preston fans want the team to play. So I think in the sense of losing McGeady, it does weaken us slightly for that creativity, but I think we've got more than enough about us this season now with the youngsters that we've brought in who are young and hungry to really make a name for themselves. Ben Pearson, again in midfield, he's been absolutely fantastic so far this season. And I think in the sense of having one superstar player or a team of really capable players who, great, sort of, we brought them in on more or less absolutely nominal fees. We haven't paid, I don't think, over 200,000 for any of the players that we've brought in. To get all these players in who, you know, we're going to have great sell-on values, things like that, who can really push us to the next level, I think in that sense, we are stronger. The only sort of concern for me, and I touched on it earlier, would be at centre-back and in defence as a whole. We've lost Tom Clark, the club captain, and then we've lost Greg Cunningham, who was then filling in for Tom Clark as the club captain, both to long-term knee injuries, so they're going to be out well into the new year. So the positive, obviously, as I mentioned, the two young lads coming in, Paul Huntington, who's now taken over captaincy, has been absolutely fantastic again. It's hard to think a couple of years ago that Simon Grayson was prepared to let him go on a free transfer down to League Two football. Ever since then, I think during that season, come the January when he was rumoured to be leaving, I think he ended up scoring about 7 goals, including one in the playoff final the year we got promoted. And since then, he's been absolutely solid for us. He's not blessed with sort of the most pace in the world. He's similar almost to a Mertesacker, that kind of player. So playing, I think, which has really helped Ben Davies, is Ben Davies, who's been playing alongside him, has that pace. And they work really well together, the same as Clark and Huntington did last season. So we are a little weaker in defence. Obviously, you're going to miss your player of the year for the last two seasons, Greg Cunningham, and your club captain. But there's signs there that this defence is really starting to gel together. You wouldn't have thought it when you saw it. You thought it was almost sort of a second string defence that you'd play in, you know, like a League Cup game or a pre-season game, that you weren't sort of too bothered about the result. It was more about sort of getting legs, that kind of game. But, you know, no complaints so far. We've still not conceded from open play. We're the only team in the division not to do that. And the only goal we've conceded has been at Derby from a penalty. So as long as they're keeping clean sheets, you know, I've got no complaints in net. We've got rid of Anders Lindegaard, who was on probably the highest amount of wages at the club. And we've brought back Declan Rudd from Norwich, who we had a couple of years ago on loan. So for the first time in a long time, we've actually got two goalkeepers that, you know, can make a claim for both being number one goalkeepers, which is, you know, the strength in depth in the forward department and the goalkeeping department is brilliant at the moment. It's just that little spine of the team that, you know, we could come undone with if we get another injury or two or a suspension. But at the moment, you know, I'd say we're stronger than last season. But time will tell. Obviously, it's still early days. And we'll see if, obviously, the defence as a whole can keep tight and keep goals out, and if the forwards can start to gel. The lack of goals really has been the only concern so far, but it's going to take, you know, a lot of new players, especially attacking players, all playing together, that time to gel. So coming back after the international break and, you know, work on the training ground over this last week and a half, it'll be really interesting to see what sort of impact they can have then on our first game back against Barnsley. The next subject I wanted to touch on is, I had it down as sort of two topics, but I think we can sort of merge it into one. We'll start with you on this one, Russ. Obviously, I had down on the topics which team had started the season and sort of surprised you, really. Obviously, there's been a few teams that many people wouldn't have tipped to be up there that are up there. You know, you've got Cardiff, who are unbeaten so far, and other teams near the top. And also tying into that, how was your team's sort of start to the season? sort of, has it impressed you? Has it disappointed you?
Okay, well, let's start with the teams that have started strong. And listen, I just saw Ipswich Town, and I have nothing against Ipswich Town. I think that they have the potential to be top eight, top 10 by the end of the season if they keep up what they're doing. I've been impressed with what Mick has done to get that team to where they need to be with all the injuries that they've had. That's been impressive. Cardiff City obviously doing something good too. But what's interesting about these two teams, and it's something that Dan Bloom from his podcast, from the Blue Monday podcast, said to me, and Lee, I think this actually would pertain to you, to Reading, to Brentford, teams like us that are passing teams that like to dominate the play. I think what is going to transpire over the course of the season, he has a theory that over 10 to 15 games, the passing teams will start to take over teams like Cardiff and also like Ipswich Town that have a certain style. And we'll see if that plays out, but I have been impressed by both of those teams so far. They've really done well. Believe it or not, I've also been impressed by Sheffield Wednesday, and that might surprise some for me saying that. Sheffield Wednesday have actually impressed me because they're still my pick to win the division, and this is why. They come to Fulham when Fulham needed the victory. Both teams needed the victory. Sheffield Wednesday did what they had to do to get the victory. It reminded me of when Brighton came to Craven Cottage last season. Knowing how to win a match in a very difficult situation, that will actually help them a great deal as the season progresses. They should be much higher up the table. They impress me. I think Fulham's season so far has been a little bit of a disappointment, but I think part of that comes down to injuries. Tom Kearney hasn't been fully fit. He just really looked like the old Tom Kearney against Ipswich Town. So we're dealing with that continuity, everyone getting back to full fitness. Once that is really transpired, I think Fulham are going to kick on. But I think the disappointing part has been the fact that we've had these tough games and we haven't really had many points to show for it. You know, 6 points is not enough. But I think over the course of the season, I think right now we have the opportunity to potentially go on a run. So even though I'm disappointed, I see the future as being bright, not just for Fulham, but like I mentioned, for Sheffield Wednesday as well.
Yeah, and the same question to you, really, Lee. Which teams have impressed and disappointed you, and how would you rate your team start to the season?
Like Russ has just touched, I think Cardiff, for obvious reasons, you know, 5 games, 5 wins, would obviously have surprised a lot of people to be at the top of the league so early on in the season. I also picked out Leeds as well. Obviously, losing Gary Monk, I did feel they might struggle this season, but they've had a relatively good start to the season. A couple of players have been brought in and really impressed, and they've not lost yet this season. So they've been a bit of a surprise package. Like Russ has just touched, I think I'm sort of on the fence really with our start to the season. I think Russ is right to highlight the fact that we had a very impressive win against Fulham, and that definitely stands out as our best game so far this season, results wise and performance wise. The other results have left a little bit to be desired so far, and I think a lot of that comes down to the expectation. I think the expectation around the club from the fans is rising with each season. And, you know, we're expecting great performances every week. We're expecting players to give 100% and win every tackle and pass teams off the park and then go and win 2-3-0. And obviously the Championship, as we all know, that doesn't happen every week. And for us, we've picked up some decent results. We've currently got more points this season than we have done in the previous 2 seasons after 5 games. So you've got to look at the positives. I think there's still a few issues that we need to iron out, and hopefully that will come. I think if you looked at the teams within the league at the start of the season, you would have picked quite a few teams who were towards the bottom end that you would feel would do well. For example, Birmingham, you know, Harry's worked his magic in the transfer window, and they're currently, I think they're in 20th position, and they can only improve by the players that they've signed, so you would see them rise quite quickly. Likewise with Sunderland and Villa, I think I had expectations for both those clubs this season. I know Sunderland came down, but with the budget expectations that they've got to bring people in as well. I thought they would do well, and they've not had a great start. So it's a mixed bag, really. I agree with Russ as well that the teams that you expect to come to the top of the table will find their feet over the next few games, and I think you would have a much clearer picture after sort of 10 to 15 games of where people are going to be. I think there's quite a lot of rumblings within the Wednesday supporters that, you know, Carlos is under quite a bit of pressure at the moment. And although that might surprise a few people, once again,
I don't get it, Lee. I got to be honest with you. I just don't get it.
I know what you're saying. Like I said, I've been a really big fan of him, and I've had the pleasure to sort of speak to him on occasion. I think for me, he's a perfect manager for the club. He fits the club. But I do think there is some questions to be raised around some of his tactical decisions at times. And I think, like with anything, you know, once the pressure gets on, people start to pick up on every single decision he makes, and the pressure sort of mounts a little bit. And I think he is under a little bit of pressure from some of the supporters. But, you know, we've got to be realistic. You know, we've got a big squad. We've got a lot of good players, a lot of players who would fit into most of the other championship teams, if we're honest. You know, we're only early into the season. Performances haven't been great, but, you know, we're not too far off. You know, games that we've lost, likewise on the first game of the season, to your team, James, we lost 1-0. We're not a million miles off. We've drawn a couple of games against Sunderland and QPR. We had a good win at Fulham. So we're not a million miles off. It's just, I think some of the frustration from the playoff games against Huddersfield last season, where we felt we were a little bit negative, some of those feelings and those tactics are being used at the start of this season. And I think the fans want us to play a bit more attractive football. And hopefully that will come. Confidence will come from results. And I think once we start picking up some results, we will hopefully see a much better performance from the team, and the fans will get back on side. But I think the expectation around the club is that we will be fighting for playoff spots this season. I think that ultimately could cause Carlos quite a lot of problems, because if we're not in that position come sort of Christmas time, there'll be a lot of people sort of voicing their concerns, especially around the grounds at home games and stuff like that. So I do think it's been an okay start. We've got a lot of things that we can improve. I hope they do improve pretty soon. But, you know, we've just got to continue building on these performances and keep picking up the points and taking the positives from the start of the season that we've had. I know, Russ, you're right, it is a bit strange, but looking in from our sort of point of view, the football has not been great so far, and we've just got to try and hopefully get possession and starting to play a bit more attractive football, which will come, I'm sure.
Yeah, and just touching on Preston, I think obviously when Simon Grayson left in the summer and then the fixtures came out and the teams that we were sort of due to play at the start of the season, you had obviously your Middlesbroughs, your Derbies, your Leeds away, and then Sheffield Wednesday and Reading at home. It was quite a daunting start, especially considering there'd be a new manager coming in. And not many fans were optimistic, really, but fair play to Alex Neil. He's come in and he's slotted in as if it's his, obviously, like his second or third season. He's really sort of got the team on board quickly, and they've really bought into his philosophy. What's been impressive is obviously the manner of the performances so far. We've looked really tight, and we've looked like a team that are capable of challenging for the playoffs, which if you'd have asked me at the end of last season, kicking on with Grayson, I thought, yeah, you know, we've got a good chance of competing. But then obviously Grayson goes and you think, okay, this season it's about a new manager coming in, bit of stability. You take mid-table and sort of go from there. But, you know, they've been fantastic so far. And if they can just add a little bit more sort of in the final third and take the chances that they're creating, there's no reason why we can't continue to push on for the playoffs. Sort of teams that have impressed me, obviously, Liam mentioned Leeds. I think Christiansen's come in and done a fantastic job so far. It was never going to be easy replacing Gary Monk, who sort of seems to be quite a competent manager at this level. He's come in and he's got them playing good football, and I expect them to be right up there come the end of the season. One that I wanted to touch on, and obviously Lee being a Sheffield Wednesday fan, it might hurt him for me to say this, but I think Sheffield United have impressed so far. They've really turned Bramall Lane into a fortress, which when any team comes up from obviously a lower division, the home form is going to be key for them sort of cementing their place in the league and, you know, mounting sort of a serious push to stay in the division. And, you know, they've won all three of their home games so far. They could have picked up, obviously, a point away on the road, but they haven't so far. But, you know, 9 points from five games, three wins out of three at home, and they seem to be doing all the right things there. It's just whether they can start picking up points away from home and sort of see where that takes them. Just wanted to move on now. Obviously, the international break's more or less over now. We'll all be playing again next weekend. And I just wanted to quickly preview the game for next weekend. Obviously, Lee, you played Nottingham Forest at home. I think that's the Sky game at 5:30 on the Saturday evening. How do you see that game going?
Yeah, a tricky game. I'm never confident with games on Sky. Probably sounds daft, but we never. There's only on rare occasions, potentially the last few seasons against Newcastle, where we've really performed when we've been on Sky. Nottingham Forest, they've had a really good start to the season. Obviously, a manager who's highly rated in Mark Warburton as well. I think for me, they look really well. It's going to be tricky. One thing that you can guarantee, obviously, with home games, it'll be a full stadium. We'll really get behind the team. I think it'll be a strong team as well, in the sense that, you know, deadline's over with now. We know what we've got. Carlos will hopefully start and pick the best 11 that he feels, because I don't think that's necessarily happened so far this season. But I think going into this game, we can really make a stand now. We've got a really, really tricky September. So I know you've touched on sort of Cardiff, and we've also got Sheffield United to play in September, along with Birmingham. So, you know, we've got some tricky games coming up. So I think for me, it'd be key that now the international break's over, we get off to a good start, really, in September. I think I'm not too worried about any one particular player from Forest. I think they've just seemed to have really gelled really well, and they've gotten playing in an attractive way. But I think the strength of our squad, I'm just hoping that we're going to start and find Jordan Rhodes and Forestieri. Now all the issues seem to be behind him. Really sort of step their game up, really. I know Russ touched on there was potential talk of him going to Fulham in the transfer deadline, but I don't think that was ever really on the cards. And I think it was just a matter of once we got Winnell out of the way, that potentially Forestieri would find his A game again. And I'm hoping that this is going to be the start of his season, really. He's not really performed at all, and he's a big player for us. So I'm looking forward to the game. I think it'll be a good game, attractive game, and one that for any team looking to progress and sort of move up the table, own games are really important, and we need to have 3 points from this. No matter who we're playing, we need to win our own games. We've already drawn 3 games, which is a third of our overall games that we drew for the whole of last season. So, you know, we can't afford any more draws. We need to start and turn these draws into wins, and starting with Saturday, really.
Yeah, and the same question to you, Russ. Sort of a quick preview about sort of Fulham's game. I believe, let me just grab it off my notes. Should be more prepared. Cardiff at home, yeah, obviously they're unbeaten. How do you see the game going?
This is a tough one because Fulham are coming off a big victory over Ipswich Town. So now we're playing the team near the top of the table along with them in Cardiff City. It's a home match. It's a big match, like we're talking about before. You have to win your home matches. And this is a team that has given Fulham fits. I'm talking about under Warnock the last season gave us fits. So it's not going to be easy. But if Fulham want to progress, these are the matches they have to win. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's not going to be easy because Warnock will set his team up to frustrate Fulham. But if Fulham are patient and do what they need to do and believe in Slavisa's system, I think they can win this match. But it's a true test, and I look forward to it. But it certainly is not going to be easy. But yes, this is a big match for Fulham at home on Saturday against Cardiff City.
Yeah, and just moving on to Preston, obviously we've got a tricky game at home to Barnsley. They've almost been a bogey team for us in the last few seasons, so it'll be interesting, obviously, to see how it pans out. We've won both our home games so far, so obviously we want to keep that going. Deepdale really in the last few years has been a fortress, so if we can keep that going this season, it it'll stand us in good stead for ultimately potentially reaching the playoffs, which, you know, is our aim. But with that, we're out of time. If both of you would like to tell everyone where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yes, so Lee Jenkins, you can follow me on Twitter at Second Touch Tackle or my personal account at Jenks16.
Okay, I'm at Russ_Goldman on Twitter and also Cottage Talk on Twitter. And I just want to mention one thing. I think during the show I said that that Ben Bloom's name was Dan Bloom. And what's funny about this, and I'll make this quick, guys, is that I've been DMing back and forth with Ben and calling him Dan. And he just responds back, thanks, Steve, because I kept calling him Dan. There's a presenter over here by the name of Dan Bloom. So I apologize, Ben, if you listen to it. Yes, I called you Dan again. I'm very sorry about that.
And you can find me on Twitter at _James Vickers. I'm the Preston North End fan on this podcast and also the host. And I also write for a Preston North End fan blog, which is at Deepdale Digest. As I said, we're out of time and we'll be back next week previewing the following week's matches and reviewing everything that happens at our clubs throughout this week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.